Welcome to the Generation Life Church Sermon Podcast. We are a life-giving church for everyone. We are multi-generational, multicultural, and exist to multiply by reaching our community both locally and globally with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that this message helps you in your walk with Jesus.
All right, are you ready to jump into the Word? I know Kendra prayed, but we are in church. We shouldn't have to be hassled about praying too much. But I need Jesus this morning. I just need you to know, I need the Holy Ghost this morning. I've been under the weather, and you guys praying for me? I sure appreciate you. Amen. But yeah, we need, I need the Lord. I need him every time, but I need him for real, for real. So let's pray. Father, we just come before you once again in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, we give you thanks, Lord, first and foremost. Lord Jesus, that you laid your life down for us, and because of that, we're able to have life today. And life abundantly, Lord. Father, I want to ask for the supply of the Spirit today, that you would enable me to preach. And Father, I want to ask, Lord, for a supernatural ability to perceive what it is that you would want to speak to us today, Lord, through the preaching of the Word. Father, I'm talking about revelation beyond what the preacher says. You working by your Spirit on the inside of your people, revealing your heart, even if the preacher is not good enough to preach it the way you spoke it. Lord, may you allow it to be received and may it bear some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold in the hearts and lives of your people today. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Hey, man, I am so fired up about our new series because whether you believe it or not, this is something that's truly, truly important because we're kicking off a brand new series today called Why, Who, What, and Where. And shout out to the first lady who put this prop together, somebody. Come on, put your hands together. Man, it was a labor of love, let me tell you. But we're thankful. Way to go, Cakes. Hey, listen, we're going to be looking at some of the most asked about, some of the most challenging questions about our Christian faith. And today we want to deal with the question, why we believe the Bible. Have you ever been challenged with, hey, why do you believe the Bible? I mean, after all, there's so many different copies out there that there's no way that it can be accurate. Of all the other books out there, right? Or you know that it's been mistranslated. Have you ever heard that one? You know, it's been manipulated. It's been tampered with, and some may have even suggested that it's nothing but a bunch of myths and fairy tales. Or it's just another book that's been dubbed holy among so many other religious writings that it can't be substantiated. It's not historically accurate. Its claims can't be proven. Therefore, it shouldn't be taken literally. Wow, wow. Right, like never mind the fact that the Bible has been proven through historical data, archaeological digs, ancient manuscripts, confirmed and affirmed by countless eyewitness testimony, and is responsible for the largest and still to this day the fastest growing Christian world religion that has converted billions of people, not by force, but by the love of God displayed through the sacrifice of his son named Jesus, and we know that through the Bible. Anyway, well, let's deal with this question today. Why we believe the Bible? Because when questioned why we believe the Bible, there's usually a common response. And that is because it's God's word. Well, which God? I mean, don't all roads lead to God? All religions lead to God? Like, which God are we talking about anyway? Are we talking about the God of Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness? Have you ever been cornered like that? Because if you're like me around this time and this point in the conversation, you know, you're trying to remain professional, right? But on the inside, your blood is starting to kind of boil a little bit like that kettle. And emotion begins to take over and your voice starts getting louder. And with an elevated voice and a righteous anger, you know, hopefully you don't accidentally misquote the part of the Bible, like where, remember when Peter in Matthew 27 got so mad he had cursed at those people? You never curse at nobody. I mean, I'm just saying, Peter did it in the Bible. I'm just saying. But have you ever been to that point where you're just so upset? And it's like, man, I just want to let loose on somebody. Of course, you don't want to be good Christian folks. You know, I take that back. I take that back. I shouldn't have judged you like that. But maybe you did the Christian curse word and you said, now, dag nabbit, I'm trying to tell you, we're talking about the true God. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, you know, the God of the Bible. Well, which Bible? We talking about the Torah? We talking about the Quran, the Veda, the New World Translation of the Scriptures by Jehovah's Witness, or the Holy Book of Mormon of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Which holy book are we talking about? Or maybe your professor at the university has challenged you about the Bible being nothing but a book of myths. And here's the problem. Even though I may have had a life-changing experience with God, if I lack the ability, not to defend the Bible, because the Bible can defend itself, but if I lack the ability to explain the proof for why I believe the Bible to be the infallible, error-free in its origin, only book on earth truly inspired by the living God himself, and if I have dedicated my life by what's written in this book but can't explain it, that does not prove my faith, that proves my ignorance. Ooh, there's a holy hush in here. I didn't get too many amens on that one. Whoo! Lord, I thought that would land. But I don't know if you've ever been scrutinized about why you believe the Bible. But keep on living, because you will. And when you do, our response needs to be deeper than the reason why I believe the Bible is because it's God's word, big dummy. Or that's how I was raised. Or because I had an experience with God and he changed my life. Well, that's wonderful. So many other religions, people have had an experience and they have had life change. You can get life change at a 12-step program, right? Or when a student goes to the university and the professor asks, why do you believe the Bible? And their response is, well, mama said that alligators are ornery. All them teeth and no toothbrush. Your mama said, right? Or when questioned about why we believe the Bible to be true. Whether we are a student or an adult, we need to be able to respond with confidence and with intelligence, not emotion, right? Not passion, not you're wrong, Colonel Sanders, mama's right, the Bible's right, right? But proof on why I believe the Bible. So today's message might be a little bit more cerebral, okay, than others, because I want to resource us with a statement today that encapsulates us with everything that we need when asked why we believe the Bible. All right, and so this statement comes actually from a pastor named Vody Bachman, and it's profound. And I pray that you would commit this thing to memory. I pray that you'd get out your phone. I'd see some movement. I'd hear some ruffling of papers if you're still right. Is anybody still right? Yeah, okay, good. But do whatever you got to do, man. Get that thing tattooed on your chest. I just want you to commit this thing to memory. I guess it wouldn't work if you got it tattooed on the chest. Maybe on the inner arm. But I'll read through this once, and then I'll go through it slowly. Oh, see, everybody is so wise. Everybody's taking screenshots. It's like, man, we're not going to sit here. You're going to take up all this time, and we're just going to screenshot it. Check it out. Just make sure when you screenshot it, you know where to find it. Amen. Anyway, here we go. These are my personal struggles. I choose to believe the Bible because it's a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. They reported supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies and claim that their writings are divine rather than human in origin. Pastor Vody Bachman, got to give that man of God credit. He influenced a lot of this message that we're about to preach today, and he didn't even know it. Let's take it slow. I choose to believe the Bible because it's a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. They reported supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies and claimed that their writings are divine rather than human in origin. So what we're going to do is we're going to break down this statement for today's message. And I just want to take the first part of that sentence of the phrase that I am praying you would commit to memory. Do you imagine if you're cornered by a professor at a university and he challenges you and thinking that you're some slouch like all of his other students and you come in with a powerful statement memorized like that and drop that thing right on him in the class aloud? That would be something, wouldn't it? Look at somebody and say, wouldn't that be something? All right. I choose to believe the Bible because it's a reliable collection of historical documents, which leads me to my first point. Point number one, we can believe the Bible because of historical proof. We can believe the Bible because of historical proof. All right, so if you have your Bibles or if you have your phone, scroll to 2 Timothy chapter number 3:16. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're going to be in verse 16. We've got the words on the screen for you, but I want to read this nice and loud together. All right, are you guys ready for this? Okay, let's go ahead and go get this word today. Students of the word today. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All right, ready? Let's read. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Oh, can you say amen? I think one of the most common criticisms when it comes to the Bible is that it cannot be credible because it's been translated so many different times. And the inference is that when scholars translated the Bible, that they created translations from other translations. You get what I'm saying? Like somebody translated the Bible into the NIV, and then they took the NIV and they did a translation into the New King James. And then they took that New King James and then they translated it into the Message Bible. But family, that is just not true. And so you'll hear people be like, I don't read nothing but the old King James 1611. And they're singing after it because they're old school. You know what I mean? Like, not realizing that the King Jimmy itself was also translated from the original. So let me break down the truth for you. You ready for the truth? When the Bible was translated, it was translated from the original manuscripts. Each time a translation is produced, it's produced from the original manuscript. So the King James translated from the original. The New King James translated from the original. All the other translations translated from the original, which actually gives more credibility to the Bible if you think about it. Because if you have all these scattered around and they're all saying the same thing, that is helpful, is it not? In fact, let me prove this to you. Can I have my Gen Connects folks come up, the folks who received the papers? You guys come on and make your way up to the front for me, if you would. So I wanted to do just give you a little illustration. Because what we did is we revised our Gen Life vision statement. We just made it shorter so that it's easier to memorize. After asking folks to stand up so many times and you realizing, okay, that thing's too long. We're going to cut it back. So we cut it back, and we still have the gift card, I think, that nobody won, by the way. So I'm hoping that this will be helpful. But I want these people right here, can you put your hands together for this good-looking crew right here? I want this to be representative of continents. Okay, continents. So we've got three different continents represented right up here. And so, Stutz, would you do me a favor? Would you read what you have from your continent?
We are multicultural, multigenerational, and exist to multiply by reaching our local and global community with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Hey, there we go. Would you please pass the mic? Somebody say, please pass the mic. There we are. Come on with it.
We are multicultural, multigenerational, and exist to multiply by reaching our local and global community with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
All right, put your hands together. Say, please pass the mic. Has anybody noticed? Are they still accurate? Are they still exact with the original? All right, go ahead. One more continent.
This is in Spanish. No, just kidding.
Go ahead. You do. Hey, you do what you want to do with it.
We are multicultural, multigenerational, and exist to multiply by reaching our local and global community with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Okay, now in Espanol, por favor.
Amen.
Come on, put your hands together for our crew right here, everybody. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So when the Bible was written, in three different languages: Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. We have three different continents represented: Asia, Africa, and Europe. Over a period of 1,500 years, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, over 40 authors wrote as the Holy Spirit spoke to them, and yet they maintained continuity of thought and compiled the Holy Scriptures into 66 books of awesomeness. 1,500 years. What I just did for you was basically reenacted what took place in 1946. When a group of shepherds in the mountains of Qumran, Israel, I've been there myself, the place is incredible. What they did is they discovered what are called ancient Dead Sea Scrolls. And the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls has been known as one of the greatest modern discoveries of ancient manuscripts. Some 100,000 fragments from around 900 manuscripts. Check this out. Dating from the 3rd century BC to AD 68, and preserved in clay pots tucked away in 11 caves spread along the West Bank near the Dead Sea. Now, after authenticating these and examined by scholars, listen to what Liberty University had to say about their authenticity. Got it on the screen for you. The Dead Sea Scrolls have been recognized for generations as one of the most convincing methods of proof of Jesus' existence, both historically and theologically, because they date back so closely to the time of Christ. They are all this the more solidified as honest records of the Hebrew Bible. Liberty University. We can believe the Bible because of historical proof. That's solid right there. I choose to believe the Bible because it's a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. They reported supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies and claim that their writings are divine rather than human in origin. That's the statement that you've already memorized. Isn't that powerful? Which leads me to my second point. Point number two. We can believe the Bible because of eyewitness testimony. Oh my, you ought to screenshot that right there. We can believe the Bible because of eyewitness testimony. Check it out. If you really wanted to dive deep, I would encourage you to buy a book called The Case for Christ by a gentleman named Lee Strobel. The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel was an investigator by trade, but he was also an atheist. And if you know Lee's story, he was determined to disprove Christianity. But during his investigation, he said he came across conclusive proof that Jesus was who he claimed to be. And as a result, he got born again and gave his life to Christ. So then he wrote a book about it called The Case for Christ. But in his book, he said that the Bible could not only be proven historically, but the resurrection of Christ was confirmed and affirmed by eyewitness testimony. Okay, which in his profession, in a court of law, eyewitness testimony by itself can be enough to convict someone or to prove the truth. That's strong right there. So check this out. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We're just going to read verses 3 through 8. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8. Everybody good? Everybody feeling blessed? Amen. Check this out. Verse 3. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen, watch this, by Cephas, who is Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present, though some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. The Apostle Paul is saying that there are hundreds of people who were still alive and breathing and living who actually witnessed the resurrection of Jesus during the time that this book right here was written, during the time that Corinthians was written. It wasn't like, oh yeah, Jesus, yeah, I remember that dude. That was messed up how they did him, yeah, back in the day. It wasn't anything like that. This isn't some guy who claimed to have a vision and then an angel told him to write this and then all of a sudden he wrote it down or he had other people write it down for him, and as a result, it's led many people astray because their claims contradict the Bible. This is not about somebody who had a conversation with an entity or some angel and say, go ahead and write this down. And now all of a sudden we have this new translation of the Bible that's apart from the written word of God, because that's how you get people like David Koresh and Jim Jones, right? And all these other Netflix documentaries that everybody's talking about these days, right? But listen, the followers of Christ were willing to be beaten for their eyewitness testimony. They were willing to be jailed for their eyewitness testimony and even losing their lives for the sake of their eyewitness testimony, because they saw something that they could not deny. They said Jesus was crucified and he died, but he was resurrected and is now alive. And this gospel, we have dedicated our lives to declare. And before I take it back, go ahead and throw me in that jail cell. Before I take it back, go ahead and take my life if you have to. But I'm not going to deny what I've seen with my own eyes. I love Jesus way too much to not tell about what I saw and what I know in my spirit to be true. And history lets us know that it's believed that Peter was crucified upside down, and that Andrew was possibly crucified, and that James was executed with the sword, and that Thomas was most likely stabbed to death with spears, and Matthias was most likely put to death by being stoned, and Bartholomew was probably beaten, filleted, or beheaded. They were willing to give their lives for their eyewitness testimony of the resurrection of Jesus. And as we said, in a court of law, eyewitness testimony by itself is enough to convict someone or to prove the truth. And these brothers proved it with their lives. Now take that back to some of those other revelations people are floating around. These brothers paid with their lives to let it be known Christ is Lord, and I live my life by these scriptures. We can believe the Bible because of eyewitness testimony. You guys still here? They reported supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies and claim that their writings are divine rather than human in origin. Let me just give you this next point. Number 3, we can believe the Bible because of its supernatural and prophetic proof. Oh my. The Bible is not just historical. It's not just a list of laws and regulations and rules that preserved Israel through some of its challenging times of its existence, but it's also a collection of supernatural events
that spoke about miracles that took place. Jesus' resurrection was a supernatural event. Jesus walking on water was a supernatural event. Manna coming down from heaven is a supernatural event. All were fulfillment of prophecy hundreds and even thousands of years prior to the supernatural events themselves. This is not a prophecy where, you know, somebody comes into a crowded room and takes a shot in the dark. You know, you ever been in one of those meetings? You know, in an environment of 200 or 300 people and be like, and the Lord has revealed to me that somebody in this room's got the sniffles. All right, during the flu season. Okay, preacher, I hear you. This is not like some Notre Dame's prediction of the end of the world. Well, it's real easy when you got the book of Revelation beside you. Yes, there's going to be some challenges at the end of the world. Well, Jesus told us that. This is not a prophet claiming global warming is here. Jesus said something about that a long, long time ago, right? So they're plagiarizing Jesus. They're plagiarizing the Bible. Hollywood is plagiarizing the scriptures. This is real prophecy. We're not talking about any of those candy cane, whatever they call them. But I want to look at one of the most powerful prophecies, one of the most specific, well-detailed, accurate, supernatural, life-changing prophecies that literally altered the course of time, literally altered the course of history, and continues to affect so many still to this day. And it's found in Matthew 27, verses 45 through 46. Oh, I want you to lock in now. Matthew 27, 45 through 46. If somebody's sleeping, pinch them. Just give them a little pinch in love. All right. No, don't do that. Nothing worse than getting pinched in church. Anybody ever come up in church and getting pinched by, you know, your mother or something? Or grabbed by the ear? If I start getting into that, we might. Anybody have to pick a switch? That's some country stuff. I'm just joking. Like, I'm from New York. We never picked a switch, but that's a whooping right there. I tell you. We got hit with like a ping pong paddle or, you know, maybe a wooden spoon, but a switch? And then you got to take that walk all the way back. Woo, that's some hard time. Matthew 27, I don't even know how we got on that. Verse 45, talking about whoopings. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, Lama Sabathani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, let me take you back 1,000 years to Psalm 22. 1,000 years to Psalm 22 to a king named David who wrote Psalm 22 1,000 years before Christ was crucified. Psalm 22 in verse 1. I just want to read the first line. Verse 1 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Ooh, that's strong. You know how long 1,000 years is? The accuracy, that comparison of verses from both the Old Testament and the New Testament is incredibly powerful all by itself. But I just want to look at one more. Let's look at one more. And you read this when you go home. Take Matthew 27 and Psalm 22 and do a comparison. But Matthew 27 and verse 35 says this. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Now, who's the prophet? Who's the prophet we're talking about? We just read about him. I heard somebody say David. There you go. We're talking about David, okay? Speaking about David. Let's continue on. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Okay? One more time. Let's go back 1,000 years and read the words of the prophet David in Psalm 22. We're going to read verses 16 through 18. Psalm 22, 16 through 18. Verse 16 says, for dogs have surrounded me. Now, the Jews would call Gentiles dogs. Okay, and the Romans were Gentiles. You remember in Matthew chapter number 15, when the woman, she was a Gentile, she had a daughter who was possessed with a demon, and she came and asked Jesus to heal her. And Jesus said, it's not good to take the bread and give it to the dogs, the children's bread. And she said, yeah, but even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the master's table. Right? She was saying, even though I'm a Gentile and Christ is a Jew, I recognize that Jesus is Lord. Okay, so the Jews would call Gentiles dogs, and the Romans were Gentiles. Okay, so with a little context, let's read it again. Psalm 22 and 16 says, for dogs have surrounded me. In other words, Gentiles have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing, they cast lots. If you don't have a wow in your spirit, man, that is like that. I'm almost bugging right now. Reading again, 1,000 years prior to the crucifixion, and this is just two of hundreds of prophecy. Supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies. As I said, when you go home, I challenge you to do a study. Take that Psalm 22 and then take that Matthew 27 and chop it up. Not only is it a fulfillment of prophecy, but it's incredibly powerful. And we can believe the Bible because of its supernatural and prophetic proof. All right, I've had you here for a minute. Let me give you this one last one, one last point. Let me give you one more. But this time I want to switch up the cadence a little bit, and I'd like to personalize this point. Okay, number four, I believe the Bible because it changed my life. Now is the time that you tell somebody about how the Bible changed your life. After you have provided evidence, after you have provided proof, now you can let them know Mama said. And as a result of Mama said, I have come to know this same God that my mama has been telling me about. And let me tell you something, Jesus Christ is Lord up in this building. And I have witnessed it by having an experience for myself. I believe the Bible because it changed my life. And I'd be willing to bet that there's some people in this room and probably even watching online who would say, I believe the Bible because it changed my life. Turn me around 180 degrees. Oh my goodness, I could keep on going. But so in as much as you have historical evidence and eyewitness testimony and the fulfillment of prophecy, in the same way, there ought to be a conviction that rings louder than any criticism that would come your way that says, the reason why I believe the Bible is because it changed my life, because through the scriptures, I came to know Christ, and because of Jesus, my life is changed. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was a slave to sin, but Jesus came in my life, and now I'm a son of the Most High God. It was through the Bible that I learned that I'm blessed. That I'm blessed in the city, and I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed in my uprising. I'm blessed in my downsetting. I'm blessed in my coming in, and I'm blessed in my going out. I am blessed, and it's because of the Bible that I know that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, my Lord. And I'm supposed to be sick. Ooh, let me go ahead and close with this. Filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm just going to fall out. Bang. Well, he's finished. Thanks for coming to church. Let me close with this. The greatest testimony about the reliability of the Bible is the proof of your life changed, lived out authentically before others. Not perfectly, just authentically. It's not about having it all together and the appearance of having it all together that causes others to believe that what you believe is true. It's about living authentically. It's about allowing others perhaps to see some of those wounds. Even Jesus showed Thomas his wounds. It's when we live our lives transparently before others that says, listen, I might not be perfect, but that's why I need Jesus. You might not be perfect, but that's why you need Jesus. And by his grace, I am able to live this imperfect life by the love and grace of a perfect God. And I learned that by reading the Bible, who introduced me to his Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? I want to ask the worship team if they would make their way up. I choose to believe the Bible because it's a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. They reported supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies and claim that their writings are divine rather than human in origin. So saith Pastor Vody Bachman. Hey, can you help me say peace out to our online fam, everybody? Would you put your hands together? Hey, fam, we are so glad that you were able to join us for worship and the word today. And we hope that you'll join us next Sunday, 10:30 a.m. for part two of our series right here. Grace and peace. We love you. Can you put your hands together one more time? Hey, we just wanted to make it easier on the production team so that they can cut up the video because we wanted to move in to partake of communion together. Wanted to ask if the worship team would begin to make their way out. And when you came in, hopefully you were able to receive one of our communion elements. And we just wanted to kick the year off right. In fact, what we wanted to do and what we will do is as the lead team and I, we came together and we began to plan out the calendar for the 2024 year. And one of the things we said we want to implement is to be able to partake of communion together, have the Lord's Supper the first Sunday of every month. Okay, so I'm not the most traditional person, but I am willing to take on tradition that is beneficial. And so we're going to be partaking of communion at the first of every month. And if you're here and you would like to have communion with us, I would like to ask, does everybody have an element that wants to take communion today? And if not, just throw a hand up in the air and our Gen Connects team will come and get you. And if you guys would want to make a sweep, perhaps through the worship team once they're there, sir. Allie, if you give me some pads, please, that would be awesome. Hey, would you guys just please give it up for this worship team today, though? Oh, come on. You could do better than that. You guys got all serious because I said communion. Everybody got all sad, you know. We're on the other side of the cross, fam. So when we come and we remember the Lord's Supper, we're celebrating. We're celebrating what the Lord has done, and it is a holy moment. I wanted to just take a moment, and let me read a passage of Scripture. Man, church, praise God. That's the first time that worked out for me. Oh, never mind. Hold up. I spoke too soon. Anyway, you know, sometimes you got to fake it. Just kidding. I won't do that. let me read a passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse 26. In fact, let me, before I do that, I would like to actually read, Kirk, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 32 in reference to communion, to the elements that we're about to partake. And then we'll go back up to the top. Because first, we're given a warning before we partake of communion so that we might get our hearts right before God. Like if we've, I feel like these days we don't get many warnings in church anymore. Seems like when you used to go to church back in the day, you always came out looking over both shoulders. And I think the other generation went so far over to the other side that we forgot to warn folks. Hey, listen, it's important to be living right. So let's read verse 27. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man or woman examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And then it goes on continuously with more warning. Hey, I'd just like to take a moment, if you don't mind, and just to have a quiet moment before the Lord. Can we take 2, maybe 3 minutes? Let our worship team, you guys can take your places if you'd like to, but as they minister, as the keys minister to us, as the worship team, perhaps even they minister to us, why don't we just take 2 or 3 minutes and let's go before the Lord privately in our own heart. And why don't we ask the Lord, "Lord, is there anything in me that I need to get right with you? Lord, I want to examine myself right now, Lord. I cannot afford to go into a brand new year with old issues in my life. And I want to surrender these to you today." So I'm going to say a prayer. Let's go before the Lord. Let's examine ourselves. And then we will come back and partake of the Lord's Supper together. Father, we just give you thanks, Lord, for the word that you've spoken today. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be able to present ourselves to you and to be able to examine ourselves, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you've given us another chance, another opportunity. Lord, thank you that you don't desire to watch us struggle with some of the things that have maybe been chronic in our lives or continue to trouble us or to plague us, things that are not of God. And so, Lord, we choose to lift our heart before you. And we ask, Lord, that you would examine our heart, and in so doing, we would examine ourselves, Lord. May we get transparent before you right now with anything that's going on in our lives. And Lord, in advance, we want to say thank you. Thank you for forgiveness where we need forgiveness, and thank you for your grace where we need your grace. We give you thanks right now, Lord. Speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Generation Life Church Sermon Podcast. We pray that this message inspired, encouraged, and challenged you in your walk with Jesus. Join us on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. in person at Orange High School or online via our YouTube channel. For more information about Gen Life or to connect with us, visit generationlifechurch.com.